Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
No time to call in? Hit us up on the Health Dare text line, 864-986-1566, from The Roar.
I dare me.com. That is how it works with our friends over at the Health Dare. The Health Dare is doing an amazing job of helping people lose weight, making sure that they're doing it at the cellular level. They're blasting belly fat. They're making sure that you have a terrific experience and making sure that that belly fat stays off. Go by and see our great friends over at the Health Dare, 1-877-IDARE-ME, idareme.com. No obligation phone call, free consultation. They're going to find a way to blast that belly fat for you, get rid of the type 2 diabetes, the high cholesterol, the sleep apnea. Any of those things are going away, and you're going to love it. Get in touch with our great friends at idareme.com. Let me get a phone call and then recap first hour, get you set up for second hour. Delvin checks in. Has been hanging on forever. 654 Roar. Hey, Delvin, thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We are fantastic.
Maybe you talking about West Virginia, talking about why would they come back? Word has it that West Virginia is looking to get into the ACC, so it's not that the ACC is reaching out there. It's like that West Virginia is reaching out to the ACC. So that whole just a girlfriend is like, well, you know what? I know it was 10 years ago you forgot about me. You didn't want me to come, but now I'm willing to go.
Desperation makes strange bedfellows, or whatever that thing says. You know,
there's
a lot of desperation going on out there. A lot of people grasping at straws, trying to protect themselves from the panic-stained fields of college football right now.
Yes, that's what you're saying. There was a report out there that West Virginia is looking to get into the ACC, so it's not like the ACC is reaching out to them. Yeah. And I'm just feeling, if I'm Jim Phillips, I'm playing this like the SEC. How West Virginia, them reach out to you and talk to them by like 6+ months, and if you decide you want to keep them, you make a 15-team league, have no divisions, and you see the top two teams go to the SEC championship game. I think they make it better.
Yeah, look, if I'm Jim Phillips, I would take West Virginia. I try to get Notre Dame and do whatever we can to entice them and their access and how all that works. I'd go two divisions. We'd add West Virginia to the east or whatever, Notre Dame to the east and West Virginia to the west, however that works out, Coastal Atlantic, however that works out. But I'll tell you this. The ACC does not have to panic if and only if they do one thing. And that is they have to just be better. Miami of Florida, when they were added to the ACC, was a national football power. They've won 5 different national championships with 4 different coaches. And Miami should be great in college football. Florida State's a national power. And Florida State should be great in football. And Virginia Tech's had an unbelievable run. And they need to get back to where they were. And North Carolina, it looks like they're kind of heading back to where they were. And Louisville is good enough. And, you know, Pittsburgh's had some times in there. But these teams have to get their football program back to where they should be. If that happens, the ACC is fine, but they can't have those teams, can't have Miami and Florida State just mucking in the mud over there and not doing anything and then expect the conference to be good in football. These are your power schools, man. These are football schools. They got to produce for your conference to look good.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a battle between the American and Big 12. They're going to try to poach each other, man. That's what I think it's going to come down to. If it falls like this, they're going to try to put each other straight. It's going to be which one conference come out on top.
Right. In the end, I don't know who wins and who loses. In the end, all these – in the past, what we have known is that the hope – and we'll talk about hope with Milt Louder here in about 17 minutes – but the hope that all these conferences, these schools are going to all these conferences, and man, this is a big deal for us. We got an exciting news conference, and it's a big day for us, and it's going to be great. And then you go to these conferences, and you get your butts kicked, and you don't go to bowl games, you don't win national championships, you don't win conference championships, and you go, this is not what we signed up for. And I got to tell you, we did it the other day. Like, Arkansas, when they got the SEC, it was like, Arkansas, man, SEC, this is going to be a powerhouse. Arkansas is going to be great. This is going to work out great. Missouri, this is going to work out great. And South Carolina is going to work out great. And Virginia Tech, Miami, and Boston College, this is going to be great. Colorado and Utah is going to be great. And quite frankly, it's not great. They don't win. And I don't know why, yeah, but it has not worked out with these teams moving.
Nigga, I think the key university in this key school, everybody talking about Notre Dame, I think it's BYU.
Yeah, BYU, they have their own television network. Now, it's not a sports network. It's a Mormon network that puts a lot of their theology in on there, and they do put on some BYU sports on there. What their model is about, look, they're different. Again, they don't play on Sundays. They go to the beat of their own drum. I'm not sure what they want out of all this and where they stand through all of this.
Yeah, but I think they're gonna be the key, cause they can go to the American, they can go to the Big 12, or they can go to the Pac 12. So
yeah,
it's gonna be interesting. But I agree about the ACC. They don't got a panic, but I think they do expand. They want Notre Dame, but I think they'll just go with, you know what, they'll say, hey, we'll go with a 15-team league right now.
Yeah,
and like that until Notre Dame wants to see what they want to do. Though I think they'll just go with a 15-team league.
The only hard part about no divisions is the schedule is so unbalanced then. And at least with divisions, all the division teams play each other and you have a champion from the division representing the division. But you might not get the best two teams out of that division. I mean, in the conference as a result of that. But at least there's a fairness in that, you know, a 15-team league with no divisions, man, your schedule might be the most important part of this.
Yeah. But, man, it's going to be interesting, though. But I'll
no
be,
doubt.
The ACC don't have to panic right now.
No doubt. Great point. All right, Delvin, appreciate the phone call. If Miami has to hold up their end of the bargain, Miami football, right before joining, we did this the other day, Jay Sterling, hi. Miami football was the best football program in the country right before they got into the ACC. And when Miami signed on with the ACC in 2003 for the 2004 season, you were thinking, man, this is an unbelievable get. In the 4 years before Miami joined the ACC, they went in 2000, they went 11-1, won the Sugar Bowl, finished second in the country. In 2001, they went 12-0, won the national championship in the Rose Bowl. In 2002, they went 12-1, lost the national championship game in the Fiesta Bowl. In 2003, they went 11-2, won the Orange Bowl, finished fifth in the country. Four-year stretch in there, and they were 46-4 with four top five finishes, a national championship, an Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Fiesta Bowl appearances. They get in the ACC, and since joining the ACC, they have not finished in the top 10 in the country. We've had 18 years of Miami in the ACC, and Miami has zero top 10 finishes. In fact, of the 18 years in the ACC, Miami's only finished ranked six of the 18 years. Miami has been to one Orange Bowl in 18 years. That's the only major bowl game they've gone to in the 18 years. And Miami's only won double-digit games once. That was under Mark Richt in 2017, where Clemson beat them. They were second in the country the week before against Pittsburgh. Finished 13th, lost the Orange Bowl, finished 10-3. Miami, at the same time, Miami had as many losing seasons, more losing seasons than they did top 10 seasons. More non-bowl seasons than they did bowl seasons. Or not bowl seasons, ranked seasons. More unranked seasons than ranked seasons. And the only bowl games they won since coming to the ACC, they won the MPC Micro Computers Bowl, and they won the Russell Athletic Bowl. That's the only two bowls they've won in 18 years. Miami has not held up their end of the deal. Florida State, now this is a recent deal with Florida State.
They you know, did win a national title within the last decade.
Right. But Florida State's got to get back to what they were. And Louisville has to get – Virginia Tech? Let me give you what Virginia Tech has done, all right? Virginia Tech, when they joined the ACC, you're thinking, man, Virginia Tech, this is a top 10 football program. And it hadn't worked. Now, some people go, well, the ACC's brought them down. Well, has that happened to Arkansas and Missouri in the SEC? Has that happened to Colorado and Utah in the Pac-12? Has that happened to – I mean, anybody makes these moves, it's happened for everybody. This isn't a one conference bringing anybody down. All the conferences are bringing people down. All these moves you end up worse with. The years before they moved – now, they did have some good years in the first part of the ACC.
So they won a lot of Coastal Division titles.
They did. They did, no doubt about that. But in the last 10 years, they finished ranked twice. In the last 10 years, they've won 10 games one time. In the last 10 years, they've had more losing seasons than 10 win seasons. Virginia Tech's got to get back, man. We brought you into this league for football. It's time for you to get back and do what you were brung here to do. North Carolina looks like they're on that verge. Clemson obviously is holding up their end of the deal. I mean, Louisville, when people forget this about Louisville. Let me give you.
They went to a Sugar Bowl the year before they joined the league, right? With Teddy Bridgewater and Charlie Strong.
Yes. Yes. Louisville.
They brought Lamar Jackson, but they hadn't brought.
In the two previous years before joining the ACC, they've been in the ACC for 8 years now. In the two previous years, they were 11-2 and 12-1. They were 23-3. They finished 13th and 15th, and they won a Sugar Bowl and Russell Athletic Bowl. Since then, they hadn't won 10 games. In the 8 years, they've only finished ranked twice. In the 8 years, they've not won 10 games yet. And in the 8 years, they're on their third coach in 8 years. And this hadn't done anything.
Other than Lamar Jackson, they haven't done anything. They brought the Heisman Trophy.
Right. But you give – I mean, Georgia Tech was a good team at one point in time. Pittsburgh had some teams. NC State's had some decent teams. Man, it's time for those teams to get back to it and to get after it again. You were bought in this league for football purposes. Pull your end of the rope, pal. Now, is that because Clemson's so dominant? Maybe.
It's certainly a factor.
Is that either or? I don't know. I'm not sure how that works.
I do have one question, though. We've gotten multiple texts this segment about how the ACC is in big trouble and the ACC is in a lot of trouble. I don't really see it as that at this current point. I think if you stand back, I agree with you that the teams that are the recognizable brands need to step it up, no doubt, but just because, I mean, yes, Oklahoma's a big get, don't get me wrong, but we talked about this some yesterday. Outside of Texas having a whole lot of money, they ain't accomplished anything.
Yeah.
I get the money aspect of it because they're going to make a lot more money now, but.
The ACC's not in trouble. We'll just spend 15 minutes talking about it. The ACC's not in trouble if they get the teams that are supposed to be good back. And it won't happen all – it's hard to get everybody winning at once. But let's consider this. If those teams play to their B game, Miami, Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Florida State, one other one, either Louisville or NC State, Georgia Tech, one of those other ones. That's six teams that are top 25 kind of programs. In the Big Ten – Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa maybe, Northwestern.
It's Ohio State and everybody else.
Nebraska needs to be that way.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Nebraska is like Miami or something right now. But
they wish they were Miami right now.
You know, in the Pac-12, Washington, Stanford, Oregon. Can't count Oregon State, Cal, or Washington State. Southern Cal, Colorado.
UCLA.
Yeah. You know, There's some in there. But there's not. You don't have 10 great ones. I mean, the SEC, Florida, Georgia, you can't count Missouri, Kentucky. But Tennessee needs to get back. Alabama, A&M, Auburn, LSU, and obviously Texas, Oklahoma. You know, that's 7 or 8, 9 in there that are really, really good. And the SEC is going to be better than the ACC in football. There always has been, always will be. There might be arguing that. But the ACC is comparing themselves to the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the old Big 12, and they've held their own in there. I mean, it's not a whole lot different looking that way. But the key is, not in trouble if Miami and Florida State can get back and if Virginia Tech can get back. That's the key to the ACC, in my opinion. Got a lot of different people asking about a lot of different programs and a lot of different conferences. I want to tell you what the national media writers will say on this and what that could look like. We'll talk about that coming up. Milt Lauder is going to join us. Can't wait. It's going to be a great segment. I do want to tell you about the folks at the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. They had a wonderful induction ceremony the other night. My friends at Trail tell you about this, TREHEL.com, 800-319-7006. One of the things that they really emphasize at the scfootballhof.org at their South Carolina Football Hall of Fame last week was so many people learned about the Bridge Builder Program. And I want you to learn about it. It is educating, empowering, and encouraging students. We have a goal now. Right now, South Carolina is ranked 43rd in the U.S. News in World Report with the career and college readiness. Their goal is to be in the top 10 by 2030. So how do we do that? What do we do? There's some great examples of some great municipalities in the state, like down in Greenwood, that are promising to pay for kids' education. And promising if you do this, we're going to take care of you. We've got to do this. We've got to make a commitment to our young people. And that's what the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame is doing. They're doing it through football, but they're also doing it with LeVon Kirkland and his Mike Foster and his great folks over there of being bridge builders and giving these young people, investing in our young people to find out about how you can take a pledge, how you can invest, how you can volunteer, how you can support their mission. Go to scfootballhof.org, South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, scfootballhof.org. And again, I appreciate Will Huston, good folks over at Trail, for also, you know, supporting that, TREHEL.com. You want some hope in your life? Stay tuned for the next segment. Dr. Milt Lauder is going to join us, A Moment with Milt from Amplus. We're going to talk about the importance of hope as a new school year, the new seasons are upon us. We'll talk about that after a very short break.
Rely on the professionals at EnviroMulch for any outdoor project. Even when it's hot outside, EnviroMulch has the right products to protect your plants and help them retain moisture. This enhances your home and saves you money. Order online at EnviroMulchOnline.com.
If you are looking for first-class service, consider First Class Halt. Here at First Class Halt, our technicians are not paid by commission. All this does is promote unnecessary repairs and dollars being spent by you. We pride ourselves on being honest. We will never sell you a service that doesn't need to be done, and no surprises. All prices must be approved by you before work is done. Come see what first-class service really means. First Class Halt, located in Anderson and Greenville.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. We'll help you raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
This is Coach Dabo Sweeney. I remember how great it was to turn 21, but remember, just because you're 21 or over doesn't mean you can buy alcohol for anyone underage. In fact, you could face fines and jail time for a first offense. Upstate alcohol enforcement teams are enforcing underage drinking laws to save lives. When officers catch a minor with alcohol, they ask, who gave it to them? Don't let it be you. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
Hey, after work on Thursday night, if you get a chance, why don't you bring the whole family to an event we call Jazz on the Alley. It's every Thursday night in downtown Seneca on Ramcat Alley and Townville Street. Now, if you enjoy outside dining, great music, and just a fun atmosphere, well, here's where you need to be. It's Jazz on the Alley every Thursday night from 7 till 9. Here's a few sounds that you're going to hear every Thursday. Spread a little happiness, spread a little bit of happiness. So grab all your friends after work and bring them on down. Have a good time this summer season and check out a little Jazz on the Alley, because if it's Jazz on the Alley, you know it must be Thursday night. We'll see you. Come on down.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. Don't look back and wish that you had taken action. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
I'm Peg. I'm a senior trust officer, but also a gardener and listener.
At Park National Bank, we're more than our job titles, and you're more than an account number. You get personal attention and direct access to a caring, compassionate banker who respects and responds to your needs and goals. Find Peg or a banker near you at parknationalbank.com. Park National Bank, where you mean more.
Investments are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, and may lose value. Parknationalbank.com.
The greatest interviews, the most sought-after guests. It's all on The Roar.
Yes, I understand that every life must end, uh-huh. As we sit alone, I know someday we must go, uh-huh.
It's kind of like my Milt Lauder theme song here, Just Breathe. Yeah, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love. Our great friends at Harbin Lumber, I am a customer, I am a partner with them. These guys are awesome. They're amazing with us and what they've been able to do. And since 1917, a fifth generation family owned in the upstate of South Carolina is providing upstate builders, remodels, and handymen with the best when it comes to a full service lumber yard. That's interior products, and exterior products, and installed services, and doors and windows and hardware and insulation and roofing and trusses and everything. And they do a great job of that. And they're on wall plants and truss plants. They take care of you with great products. They knock your socks off when it comes to customer service. And they know that they're not successful unless you are. I want you to get in touch with Harbin Lumber. If you're an upstate builder, remodeler, handyman, harbinlumber.com. Harbin Lumber, remember the number, 353-5053. To our guest lines, we're Dr. Milt Lauder, sports psychologist, performance psychologist of Amplos in Greenville, joins us with a moment with Milt. Dr. Lauder, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Mickey. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. I am so thankful and grateful that we get to do this every week. And it's not a challenge every week to come up with a topic that is relevant to what's going on in the world. I was reminded in my church service in the sermon that our pastor gave to us on Sunday about Jeremiah and hope in the face of hopelessness. But I started thinking about with school starting next week throughout many places, and with new seasons and practices and new teams starting out, that hope should spring eternal, and hope is so important to the new beginnings and a new outlooks. And I want to get your thoughts on that and just how important hope is in our everyday lives and our new beginnings of our lives.
Yeah, Mickey, I love that foundation. And you said your pastor kind of preached about hope, and I love what Billy Graham said. He said, what oxygen is to the lungs, hope is to the world. One cannot live in a world without hope. And then, of course, he added, the Bible's full of hope. And so when I think about, you know, my work even at Clemson, you know, that's the football program is built on a culture of belief and hope and a belief that the best is yet to come. And we know that hope springs eternal, and it's essential to our everyday life and our growth.
Think about that for a second, Doctor. National championships, national championship games, appearances, college football playoffs, all this consecutive ACC championship streak, first round draft picks, number one overall draft picks, and high rent recruiting classes, and I still believe it. Isn't that what a great belief in that the best is still yet to come? I mean, every year I ask myself and say it's going to get better than this, but yet it still does, right?
Yeah, I think that's what's so exciting, and I think the message for everyone, I think in our life, especially think about our young people, we tell them that college is the best time of their life or high school is the best time of their life, and we forget that people bloom in their own time and in their own season. And so always maintaining hope, always maintaining belief, always forgetting what is behind and focusing on what's ahead with energy and enthusiasm and purpose and passion, that's where our hope lies. That's what gives us a hope for a brighter tomorrow.
I want to turn to the second half of hope here on the bottom end of the spectrum in a minute. But, I mean, Alabama has hope, and Elon Musk has hope, and, you know, President Biden has hope. People who are on the top of the world have hope. You know, people who have all the – Nick Saban has hope this year, and hope is going to be even better than last year. And I mentioned this idea to you before that so many humans aren't good at handling success, and we get spoiled and rotten and rich and fat and lazy and complacent through all of that. But I want to get your thoughts about being hopeful, even that things can even get better like that. To me, that's amazing that you can be on top and still think it's get better than it is. Is that dreams? Is that refocusing of goals? I mean, it seems like Dabo does a great job with every team of refocusing goals over that. But that, to me, that's an amazing concept that it's as good as it gets, but we still think it's going to get better.
Well, I think it depends on what better is.
Right.
I mean, is it the things of this world or the things greater? One of our first conversations we had is how are we going to define success? Is it achieving the goal or pursuing a worthy goal? And so I think, you know, in our materialistic world, we think things are going to get better, that I'm going to win more, I'm going to make more money, I'm going to do this. But what if we flip it and say, you know what, I'm going to become a better version of myself. I'm going to help someone else along the way. I'm going to learn to be grateful for what I have instead of what I don't have. I'm going to learn to be content, but not satisfied. I think maybe that's, we've got to change our lens of what better is. And why that disappoints us when we think it's the things of this world, the material goods, the affirmation, the praise, the fame that's going to make me feel content, when it's got to come from within.
You have met with desperate people. You've helped clients that were at the bottom and their wick's end and the lowest points of their life. To me, that seems like a that's an easier deal to work with, is that, man, I'm gonna show you some hope somehow, some way. I'm going to provide these avenues for hope. Is it easier to provide hope to the hopeless, or is it easier to provide hope to those that are already on top?
Well, I think that those that are on top, we fall victim to pride, and we fall victim to the hubris of our success, and we think it's due to us and how great we are. And so some of that is you've got to bring humility to those that have achieved at a high level. What depression really is, though, on the other end is the absence of hope. You know, people through circumstances not of their own, through life challenges, through positions in life, through traumatic experiences, whatever may happen, the brain gets in a pattern of negative thinking, and the lens clouds any hope for the future. And so trying to meet someone where they are to encourage them and give them hope, it's very meaningful, but it's very challenging because of the barriers that have prevented their ability to see things in a different way.
I think sports is great. Dr. Milt Lauder joins us now from Amplus. I'm going to tell you about Amplus here in a minute. I think sports is great, Doctor, because how many great – in spring training, With Pittsburgh Pirates, John's favorite team doesn't really have much hope, but like everybody has this big hope. Like, this is our year, man. And SEC media days and ACC media days, we put these guys up here, and our coaches are saying, our players are saying, we're more focused now than ever. Our weight room guys are more focused than ever. A lot of these teams are going to end up 3-9, but at least right now, hope is there. Isn't that great that you get that you're undefeated right now, and this team's going to be so close, and this leadership's going to be amazing this year. What a great avenue going into a season to have that kind of hope.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the turning of the season, a new team, kind of a new dream, or maybe the same dream even of hope excites a fan base. And so sometimes in life, we don't have those clear delineation points of when one season ends and when another starts. And so I think it is a great example of a renewed mindset, a renewed focus, a renewed energy on the people you have in your life and what you're trying to accomplish together. And at some level, no matter what team you are, there is a chance, like, this could be our year. And a lot of us don't live life that way. We just think, hey, this year is going to be just like last year or worse than last year. Or think about the pandemic. Like, when are we, like, how many times you heard somebody say, I just want us to get back to normal? We can't go recreate that.
Right.
Like, you got to recreate something new. It's not going to go back to normal. We got to take what we have and make the best of it.
And the best are people that are able to do that. I want you to speak, if you can. I needed a pep talk every year. I was a terrible student. I needed a pep talk every year because I was so disappointed that summer was over. And I couldn't believe that we're starting school like next Monday, like the first week of August, we're starting school. So like I would be depressed, man. I was having a great time in the pool. Now I got to go back to school. This stinks. But give me a little pep talk. School starts next week. It's a new year. It's a new chance, a new hope for a C-minus rather than a D-plus for me in school.
Well, I think, again, I laugh because I went to school for a long time and I wasn't a great student either. But what I would encourage these young students is understand why you're there. You know, why, like what do you – and I think we do a poor job probably in our education system of connecting people's studies to their passion and their purpose and their why. You know, when I know why I'm doing something, then I can get excited about the how. As Nitschke said, he who has a why can suffer almost anyhow. And so we forget why we're doing it. We don't have dreams. We don't have visions. We don't have purpose. We just wake up each day and go through the motions. Here's what I have to do today. Instead of, hey, here's what I get to do today, and here's what I'm grateful for. And I think what school represents to me around hope, you know, another big example, we can't do it by ourselves. We all need someone in our life to encourage us when we're struggling, to speak energy into us, to say, hey, look, I think you have what it takes. I think you can do this. And then conversely, when we're doing really well, we need people to speak some truth into our life about, hey, let's make sure we're staying hungry. Let's avoid complacency. What are we still striving for? So I think going into the school year, I would encourage these young people and these young students and these families to recognize what an opportunity it is to learn, how grateful we are to live in this country where we have an opportunity to improve our status, how grateful we are for the people in our life that think differently than us, that challenge us, that make us better. And I can learn to think. And if I can learn to think, I can learn to live my own life and define my own success.
I am the best example of, man, I wish I'd known then what I know now, and a great example of that. And another example I'm having now, Doc, is with this new hope, my two-year-old is going to go to preschool for the first time. And he's going to be in the freshman class at 2.5 years old. Pretty cool. He's kind of excited about it. But because I won't have the mornings with him, I'm gonna start working out again. You've probably done this a million times with that New Year's resolution. And, man, I'm going to really go get in great shape this year. But why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to, A, get started? Why is it so hard to keep it going?
Well, it's easy to get started. It's hard to keep sustained. Our willpower is not that great, and our brain kind of falls into the same old routine. And we fail to create new habits and new systems. And I think we fail to invite people in our life to encourage us along the way. I can't underestimate or understate the importance of having people in your life. And I think you know, go back to Clemson football. One of my favorite stories about Coach Sweeney after the 2010 season, you know, we had a tough year against South Carolina, and he kind of goes up to his office after the game, and Terrion Phillips is sitting in his office with the lights off. And Coach Sweeney thinks he's done. He's like, okay, I gave it my best shot. And Terrion Phillips looked at him and said, hey, you're still my guy. I believe you're the guy to take us to the next level. Now, we got to get better, but I believe you're that guy. And so what does Coach Sweeney do with that confidence, a man who has unbelievable faith and hope and positivity? But in that moment, with that confidence from his boss, he says, I believe we're going to have the greatest decade in Clemson history. Like, that's hope. There wasn't any evidence at the time, but he believed it. And then other people bought in as well.
I'll share this story with us. I talked about it on the air the other day. When we hired Dabo Sweeney as the offense, as a wide receivers coach here, Danny Pierman worked with him down at Alabama, and him and Kathleen and Danny, his wife, they were good friends there. They were young assistant coaches, and Danny went on to spend a bunch of very successful championship years with Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech, and he was up there. I'd see him, he'd pass the recruiting, had a dinner with him a few times, whatever. Well, when they hired Dabo, I knew he worked with Dabo, and I knew who Dabo was. I didn't know him, and so I just called him up and said, Coach Beamer, tell me something about Dabo. And he goes, let me tell you something about this cat. And you can tell it when you meet Kathleen that he's the most optimistic man in America. He thinks he's going to win every game. He's going to sign every single recruit. I love this Tim Tebow story that he's mad about because he had to stop recruiting Tebow, and he thinks he could have signed him instead of Florida or Alabama through all that. But he thinks he's going to sign every player, and he thinks he's going to win every game. Yeah. And what a great, you know, what a great idea that we're going to dream big things this year. I wish I'd have known that when I was trying to make a C-minus and a D-plus. You know, I could do this this year.
Yeah, and so you've got to have, like, so I would challenge people that are listening right now, who are the people in your life that have that kind of hope, that have that kind of faith, that have that kind of belief, that are positive about the future? And if you're honest with yourself, you're probably walking around with a lot of people who are pretty negative about the world, pretty negative about their prospects, and so you become who you hang around with. And so that's a great example of surrounding yourself with people that are not positive in a way that is fake, but genuinely believe that the best is yet to come, that are keeping their dreams greater than their memories.
All right, I do want to pass this along with you. I do want to leave it a positive note from my standpoint. About a month ago, Duck Donuts was celebrating their 40th anniversary, and we had Greg and his wife on, and they were talking about Duck Donuts moving forward, and Greg's a former Clemson golfer, and Kelly Graham, I was on Kelly and Kwok's show with him, and Kelly asked Greg and I, when do you think your best golf was or was that going to be? And I was like, I got to be honest with you, man, I'm 53. I still think it's ahead of me. Like, I can't think that it's behind me. I got to go out and hit some balls and practice my short game and practice my putting because I think it's still ahead of me. And I still think life, even though at 53, I got to think my best is still ahead. Best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for a lot of people because of Amplos and because of the growth project. Tell us about what you guys do, your team, but really about this growth project and how people can subscribe to this podcast because it's making a lot of people, and I'm hearing a lot of positive thoughts about it.
Thank you, Mickey. You know, two things. One, our podcast, Corey and Schaefer and Drew Brandon put out last week, how do you handle disappointment? Like, how do you handle disappointment in life? So this theme that we talked about, what are the challenges? How do you face the truth? But how do you continue to maintain that belief? And then something I'm putting out on Thursday today is the one-year anniversary of my father's death. And, you know, a growth tip that I'm putting out this week is one of the things that I have great peace about is I took the time to have a courageous conversation with him to get to know him at a deep level, you know, 15 years ago. And if I'd have waited, I wouldn't have been able to have that conversation. And so but that's going to come out. We have a growth tip. That's going to come out on Thursday. And just a reminder to everyone to take the time to have that conversation. So when you lose someone that you love, you don't question who they were, what they stood for, what they thought about you, and you didn't miss that opportunity to tell them how much you loved them.
I love that. I can't wait for the Growth Project. You can find it on Amplos. You can find it wherever you find your podcast and subscribe to that, and you're going to love that. Oh, quick, I'm going to leave you with this. 3221 on our text line said Dr. Milt spoke to the South Carolina Coaches Association Sunday evening. He did an amazing job in encouraging our coaches and hearts and just not their talents. Our coaches, our kids, and their hearts. And he says thank you for that for sure. I know a lot of people are affected by it. We are on this show. I can't thank you enough, and I can't wait to see what pops up between now and next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mickey, and thanks for that feedback.
No doubt about it. And I'll can't wait for Thursday's podcast. It's going to be great. Hey, Doc, have a great day, buddy.
Okay, you too. See ya.
That's Dr. Milt Louder, A Moment with Milt. Short break, much more after this.
Are pet hair, dust, and allergies getting the best of you? They call Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning and breathe easier. They're the most trusted cleaners in town. Get $30 off an air duct cleaning plus 50% off lifetime filters and purifiers. Schedule at ZeroResGreenville.com.
Having your vehicle worked on can be like gambling in Vegas. Usually the odds aren't in your favor. The service team at George Coleman Ford delivers the same integrity and honesty found throughout the company with the service director, Kurt Shockley, who has been there for nearly 30 years. No hidden fees, any maker model service, even open Saturdays until 1 with free pickup and delivery. Do yourself a favor. Call 834-6080 and have your vehicle serviced at George Coleman Ford.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Race with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Whether it's our famous glazed or one of our specialty donuts, we have something for everyone at work or at home. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Why shop Reed's Jewelers? Better yet, why not? Reed's Jewelers invites you to make them your jeweler, and you'll soon discover why so many like you now shop Reed's. From their award-winning staff to their impressive selection of jewelry to their customer-friendly financing, Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, invites you to join the thousands of customers who have started a relationship with them. We'd love to see you. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk, online at Reed's.com.
I'm a dollar fan.
I'm a GameStop fan.
Could you imagine living in a house like this?
Making choices is hard, but choosing the right countertop doesn't have to be. Star Granite Interiors has been in business for over 50 years. We use the latest in...
Technology.
No matter how you say it, we use the best equipment to ensure a quality experience, not to mention our customer service is second to none.
Call our dad for a free quote.
Call Jeremy Revis at 864-304-4249.
Are you having trouble meeting your IRS or state tax obligations? David Green can help during this COVID-19 pandemic. The IRS has instituted relaxed collection measures, delayed due dates, and other programs that we can use to help delinquent taxpayers. If you owe the IRS, don't wait. Act now and get relief before they fully resume collection activities again. Call David at 864-271-7940 for your free planning session and let them help you be proactive.
Hey, after work on Thursday night, if you get a chance, why don't you bring the whole family to an event we call Jazz on the Alley. It's every Thursday night in downtown Seneca on Ramcat Alley and Townville Street. Now, if you enjoy outside dining, great music, and just a fun atmosphere, well, here's where you need to be. It's Jazz on the Alley every Thursday night from 7 till 9. Here's a few sounds that you're going to hear every Thursday.
Spread a little happiness, spread a little bit of happiness.
So grab all your friends after work and bring them on down. Have a good time this summer season and check out a little Jazz on the Alley, because if it's Jazz on the Alley, you know it must be Thursday night. We'll see you. Come on down.
You won't find another show like Road Rage. Walt Deptula, 3 to 7 weekdays on The Roar.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road. Gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone.
Rode by Granger Nissan of Anderson last night. Some great-looking vehicles there. I'll encourage you to check that out. I did see a commercial for another manufacturer, another car dealer that's offering lifetime powertrain warranties at their place now. So, boy, Damon Granger, thank you. He's done everybody's shopping a big favor. That's still not the norm out there now. Buy the new car, get the lifetime powertrain warranty, and learn more about why that is such a successful deal there with our great friends over at Granger Nissan of Anderson.com. The summer sales event, the great sales that are going on there now, the great cars that are over now, go by and see them. It's Granger Nissan of Anderson. You are going to love your next vehicle from Granger Nissan. That 0% financing on so many options, you're going to love that as well. It's Granger Nissan of Anderson.com. Yesterday, John Hyde. Oh, by the way, Tony Morrell joins us at 8:05. We'll talk some South Carolina football and South Carolina football recruiting. Yesterday, the ACC finally released. It just takes the ACC all weekend long to release their their votes. You know, you vote on Thursday, and they released their results on Monday. You got a bunch of smart people up there. Add the stuff up on Thursday and tell me about it on Friday.
Well, maybe we had some recounts or, you know.
Hanging chads?
Maybe there was rumors of voter fraud. I don't know.
People voting twice?
Was Russia involved?
Look, apparently so. When some people voted for some of these champions in here. First on the overall champion, 147 people voted. On the overall champion, Clemson got 125 of the 147 votes. That's not surprising. North Carolina got 16. I'm not shocked by that. You?
No, not at all, no.
Miami got 3.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not shocked by that.
If you have those out there that think Miami's better than North Carolina in the Coastal, okay.
Yeah, I understand that. And then it could beat Clemson. You get that.
In a one-game scenario, sure.
Virginia got 1.
Mm-hmm.
That Scooby-Doo would go.
Mm-hmm.
NC State got 1.
Mm-hmm. Was that one submitted on a laptop from their football department?
Georgia Tech got
1. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Their win total in Vegas is like 5.
I don't see them winning 5.
Now, I thought I heard yesterday Brad, who you can hear every day right here from 9 to 12 on the press box, Brad Sankoff. I thought he said something, I believe I heard him correctly, where he said that SIDs or people in SID departments get votes within the universities. So that can mean where the ones are coming from, but that's still...
That's got to be the student newspaper.
Or something, but why in the world would anybody think Georgia Tech has a shot to win the league?
Some nerd who writes for jackettimes.com or whatever had to do that.
He's probably one hell of an engineer, though.
Not a hell of a sports writer or prognosticator. Here's the Atlantic Division. 146 of 147 votes had Clemson winning the Atlantic. 1 had NC State. Wolfpacker.com. NC State 2nd. I got no problem with that. Boston College 3rd. Florida State 4th. Wake Forest 5th. Louisville 6th. Syracuse 7th. I didn't go and I didn't vote, but here's what I'm telling. I agree with Clemson 1. I'm going to swap out Boston College and NC State.
We are a Boston College show.
We are, BC. NC State 3rd, but a close 3rd. And I can see NC State finishing 2nd and Boston College finishing 3rd.
Sure.
I do agree with Florida State being 4th. I jump Louisville 5th ahead of Wake Forest. Wake Forest 6th and Syracuse 7th. So I just flip-flop Boston College and NC State. I flip-flop Louisville and Wake Forest.
But, yeah, I think you're splitting hairs with those.
All right. In the Coastal, North Carolina got 109 first-place votes.
I don't have a problem with that.
In the Coastal part. Miami got 28 first-place votes in the Coastal.
I think those are the two best teams in that division.
I agree with it. They then have Virginia Tech 3rd.
No.
Pittsburgh 4th. Virginia 5th. Georgia Tech 6th. And Duke 7th. I have it different.
How do you have it?
I agree North Carolina 1 and Miami 2.
As do I.
I move Pittsburgh up to 3rd.
Yeah. I think they have the benefit of the doubt right now. And
I put Virginia ahead of Virginia Tech. I feel better about Bronco and his staff than I do Fuente and his staff right now.
Oh, for sure. Not just in the long term, but just in this one particular season.
Yeah.
I don't have any high expectations for Virginia Tech whatsoever, and it feels odd that we're, you know, getting ready to go into a season and to have no expectation for Virginia Tech.
Now, head-to-head, Justin has done a very good job against Virginia. Virginia beat him in 2019 for the only time, so he is 4-1 against Virginia. Whereas Bronco, in his he's been there 5 years, he's 1-4. They came at the same time. Didn't realize that.
The one thing that worries me about Tech beating UVA this year is if you look at Virginia Tech's schedule, it's going to be tough for them to get onto a really strong start. And if the chatter as we get into October is already about Fuente on the hot seat, or he's most likely going to be fired, or
that's it.
Are they going to check out? And UVA is not going to.
So yeah. I think Virginia Tech, they lose to North Carolina on a Friday night. They beat Stockstill on the following week. They lose at West Virginia, beat Richmond, an open date, lose to Notre Dame at home. I think you lose to Pittsburgh at home. At that point in time, you're 2-4. And
with probably an ugly loss in there to Notre Dame or even North Carolina.
Well, at that point in time, Fuente's gone at 2-4.
Yeah. Do they fire him midseason at 2-4?
Right. And so you can hold it together against Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Boston College, Duke, Miami, Virginia, but they got to go to Virginia, got to go to Miami, to Boston College, to Georgia Tech. See, they're going to lose those home games. And the natives in Blacksburg aren't going to be very happy about getting blown out by North Carolina and Notre Dame. Maybe lose to Pittsburgh at home, maybe lose to, you know, or all those home games, lose at West Virginia to go along with that. So I think that Virginia Tech is off to a terrible September start. Exact opposite South Carolina. And they need hope there. Speaking of hope, they need hope there. Fuente doesn't survive this season, in my opinion. On the other side of it, Virginia, ACC championship game before. I thought Virginia played better at times last year than I would have believed. And Virginia,
their secondary, you have to remember, too, of Virginia last year.
Yeah.
Was so depleted with COVID and injuries that, I mean, they were playing a lot of walk-ons last year on the defensive side of the ball Charlottesville.
They ended up winning 4 of the last 5, including beating North Carolina. And I know they lost to Virginia Tech, but this team was better in the second half of the season last year. I trust Mendenhall. I don't trust Fuente. So that's my big move to all that. And then Pittsburgh just has more, in my opinion. Pittsburgh has, I don't believe in Kenny Pickett, but I trust him to be a, you know, he's not going to lose games for Pittsburgh. How about that? I think Pittsburgh's got a decent chance of beating Tennessee in Knoxville. That's a
I
big
do too.
Johnny Majors Bowl. Big game for both those programs. And they'll lose it at home to Clemson, but they get North Carolina at home, they get Miami at home, they get Virginia at home. Their road games are doable in the league. They go to Duke. They go to Syracuse. I think the schedule sets up pretty good for Pittsburgh. So, Narduzzi returning, 8 starters on offense. They were decent on offense last year. They've always been pretty good on defense. His defenses have been, you know, above average there. So, I do like that. I have 3 minutes or 2.5 minutes. Good morning, Zeke. How you doing?
Hey, Mick. Appreciate you taking the call. Take a look at when you get past South Tower or whenever you get a chance. You know, if you look at Pickett outside of Clemson, because we know what Clemson's going to do. But let's talk about NC State. Then let's talk about Miami, Carolina. And I'm with you guys. I got Pitt third also. But I always like to look at the schedule. And if you looked at the schedules, Mickey, I'm not so sure that Pittsburgh's schedule doesn't set up better to win the Coastal or to come in second than Miami's schedule. I mean, Miami's got to go, if I'm not correct, Miami's got to go to Pittsburgh. Miami's got to go to North Carolina. Miami's got to go to Florida State. So they've got, you know, those. You know, I look at that and go, whereas, you know, North Carolina gets Virginia at home, they get Miami at home. Pittsburgh may have the best schedule. If you look at their road games, Pittsburgh's toughest road game is at Virginia Tech. They get Miami at home. They get North Carolina home. What Pitt has going against them is they got to play Clemson at home.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's going to sting them with the Carson. But if you look at the schedules, man, I just think Pittsburgh's schedule sets up better than Miami's. And I could see a scenario, Mickey, possibly, where Pittsburgh could even get sick in the Coastal. And I'm just going, hey, one quick question on recruiting. What are your thoughts on Sebastian Cheeks? Do you know about him, and where do you think he'll commit to tomorrow at his press conference? And I'm going to hang up. Thanks, Mickey.
Thank you, Zeke. I appreciate that. Quickly on the Pittsburgh stuff first. The schedule is why I picked Pittsburgh to finish third, not fourth, fifth, or sixth, or whatever. But the talent is the reason that Miami's better than Pittsburgh. Does that make sense?
It does. But Miami does have a tough schedule, especially, you know, we talk about a lot of times if you lose to Clemson, the game can beat you twice. If Derrick King's on 100%, that Alabama game could get ugly.
Yeah.
And with Michigan State and App State there, those are not two easy games in your non-con before you even get into conference play. That could really trip up Miami.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, I think, has enough talent to finish third, but the deciding factor is that outside of Clemson's game, he's right about that. Whereas I think that Miami and North Carolina are just the two best teams in that Coastal Division. Whereas I trust Narduzzi more than I trust some of those other guys in that Coastal Division. I think coaching is very important. Quarterbacks and coaching is important. Pickett comes back. Narduzzi's kind of got, what he's about there. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, I'll get into that recruiting in our third hour as well. Speaking of recruiting, Tony Morrell is going to join us from thebigspur.com talking Gamecock football and Gamecock recruiting when you come back.